Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wow, Matt, fellow adventurers, we are back with Sir Croakington, and we will go back to the Demon Dactyl Inn and Tavern. And here we go. Alright, so we've been there, we've entered the previous episode, looked around a bit. We investigated the blue door, which we are not supposed to open. And well, now we're looking at this again. Must not have saved. Anyway, we went that last time. Seek out Firmgin. The tavern keep, a burly, pleasant fellow named Firmgin, greets you with a smile and proceeds to relate to you some of the more interesting pieces of news he's gathered from his conversations with other patrons. Before you take your leave of Firmgin, the tavern keep relates to you a mostly far-fetched antidote requiring a sneaky cat, a vile goblin, and a wicked sword. And almost every word of it is the honest truth, he says in conclusion, winking. Wink! But to that, I can and will attest. Now let's talk to Firmgin again. Oh yeah, and he tells you a extremely silly tale that includes a bold fish, a bold thief, a brave fish and a mysterious staff. Okay, how could a... what happened here? Well, it's extremely silly, so I probably won't be able to think of it. It's probably set in Camelot or something, because that is a very silly place. Almost every word of it is the honest truth, he says, concluding. And to that, I will attest. Yeah. Oh yeah, apparently every time you look at the door, you just recall what happened when it first opened. Yeah. So yeah, you can. Yeah, so you could just, if you weren't paying attention the first time because you were just quickly clicking through things, you can look again and just get anything you missed. But we got it all last time, so. Anyhow, now on to the last two things in the cavern. There's a curious statue above the hearth and Inspector Gruesome painting on the wall. What curious statue. Perched on a long shelf above the hearth, dominating much of the broad plank surface, is the iron statuette of a rather grotesque winged figure. Vaguely humanoid in appearance, the iron figure's face is badly disfigured, Fully certain you can make out a set of long fangs protruding from what appears to be a broad mouth. According to what you've heard, the disturbing object has been sitting on the shelf ever since Lilith acquired the tavern from its previous owners. Despite numerous attempts by Film, Lilith and Fogun to remove it, both the statue and the shelf upon which it sits refuse to budge. Now, if Lilith can't move it, then I think we can take it as a wit that I definitely won't be able to move it. Because Lilith is far more powerful than me. In pretty much every way. Right. Inspect a gruesome painting hanging on the wall. A large wood-framed painting, notably tilted to the left, depicts a gruesome scene. In the picture, a towering, horned, black-winged, demon-like figure stands over a blood-drenched, carnage-strewn fields of battle. All around the creature's clawed feet lie the mangled remains of the armoured warriors in the throes of death. The horrid beast, its cruel gaze tilted to the sky, is stretching wide its fang-filled jaws. So I can straighten the painting, or tilt the painting to the right. And I have this strange notion that will actually do something. So, straighten it first. You fiddle with the painting for several moments, taking care to make certain it doesn't fall off the wall, and manage to make it perfectly straight. I use my power of conjuration. In fact, I'm going to use it right now. It succeeded. And I got Vater's Bite. Which is a melee weapon with 6 melee weighting. Because you could just sometimes get things that are nice when you conjure. Of course, they disappear eventually. But it is a way for people that don't have... It's a way for people who don't have a G membership to get anything... To get things with more than about 4 melee weighting. The conjured black-bladed longsword you hold in your hands was once the property of Vater, a legendary swordsman who waged a deadly war against the fiefs of Ravenlyft. This weapon is of magical quality, and its origin is conjured, so it will disappear on its own eventually. And also, after I got that, I also got a line level, which I used to help level the painting. Managed to make it perfectly straight. Satisfied by the result, you take a step back to take another look at the piece of art. Much to astonishment, the scene depicted in the painting has changed. A large wood frame painting, hanging perfectly straight and level, depicts a grim scene. In the picture, a group of armoured warriors stand over the bloodied, ragged carcass of a large horned, black-winged, demon-like figure. One of the warriors is thrusting his sword into the fallen creature's agape mouth, while another appears to be trying to sever its feet. The other armoured figures gaze down ruefully at the dying beast. Now what if I tilt the painting to the right? You carefully tilt the painting, leaving it skewered to the right. Don't need the line level for that. As you step back to take another look at the piece of art, you startle to discover that the scene depicting the painting has changed. The odd wood frame painting, noticeably tilted to the right, depicts an old scene. In the picture, a towering, horned, black-winged, demon-like figure stands next to a group of armoured warriors. The creature appears to be offering a sign of friendship to the warriors, who seem to be reciprocating the gesture. In the background, a bright yellow sun is poking above a sea of rolling green hills. Okay, that looks like a nicer painting. I'm not sure whether these paintings is the same scene at different times, or different results of the same event, or just some things that are similar. Who knows? Probably no one. Step away from the painting. A large door emblazoned with a blue X is slightly recessed into nearby wall. What is this curious statue? Alright, suddenly the statue trembles ever so slightly before abruptly becoming still. Let's have another look at this. Stand troubles ever so slightly before abruptly becoming still. Oh, well, we have a suddenly. Well, oh, whatever all my fiddling is done, it's done it. Without warning, a thick purplish fog begins filling the tavern, seemingly seeping out of every crack and crevice. The patrons thronging the common room, many of them shrieking in alarm, spill out through the open doors and onto the stony path that leads up to the road. I'm going to guess something's trying to come out the door. I might even have to open it. Sir Croakington! Screams the tavern keep, covering his mouth as he staggers through the sinister billowy mist. Take this! You've seen it before. Seal the door! We can't let it get out! Before turning to make his way outside, Fimgrim tosses you an engraved stone disc, which you nimbly snag out of the air, gripping the disc. You turn your attention to the heavy wooden door marked with a blue X. The door heaves and rattles, as if something large and powerful is attempting to burst through it. I have an engraved stone disc. It's got an encumbrance of one, although I don't think that will matter much, because I think I will be giving it back afterwards. This fixed stone disc, roughly 6 inches in diameter, so it's kind of like sealed size to Sir Croakington, bears engravings on both of its sides that appear to depict a hideous, multi-tentacled creature. That's presumably what it can keep back, or possibly summon if you accidentally turn it the wrong way round. As you rush up to the door, the sound of buckling metal and splintering wood rings out into the fog-filled common room. Anonymous groan assails your ears as the door, its formidable strength now compromised, cracks open and comes to stand nearly 2 feet ajar. Oh no, it's open. Within arm's reach of the door, you're suddenly gripped by a profound sense of panic. Whatever horror is attempting to push past the barrier will surely do so unless you somehow manage to close and secure it. Before you can secure the door using the stone disc, you'll need to find some way to force it closed. The thick, purplish mist filling the tavern stings your eyes, causes you to cough with nearly every breath. Before you, the heavy wooden door, its timbers rattling, stands ajar nearly 2 feet. A pair of long, green, oozing tendrils, the end of which are affixed what appear to be sharp beaks, snake out round the edge of the oaken slab. Fearing the door will give way at any moment, you hurriedly endeavour to prevent dust that. Okay, so I have some options. I can use fortification, shadow magic, telekinesis, or just push the door. Now, I think this will require a few tries to work, so I'm just going to go through things in order. Fortification first. It succeeded. 4x speed to fortification. You channel your power of fortification and intently focus it on the door. Your potent magic immediately goes to work, reinforcing the buckling slab, which allows you to throw your weight against its timbers and partially close it. Yeah, I do a charged up spring right at the door, headbutting it back just a little bit. A fearsome bellow explodes from behind the door. The thick purplish mist filling the cavern stings your eyes and causes you to cough with nearly every breath. Before you, the heavy wooden door, its timbers rattling, stands ajar nearly a foot. A single oozing tendril, the end of which is affixed to what appears to be a sharp beak, grips the edge of the oaken slab. Fearing the door will give way at any moment, you hurriedly endeavour to prevent that. Okay, shadow magic, which has a 95% chance of success, because my shadow magic is at level 81. Because the chance of success is just based on the level of the skills. That's just how it works. How difficult the challenge is doesn't have any effect, which is not how I would do it, but oh well. And yes, even if you get things all the way up to level 100, you still have a 1% chance of failure. Which, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't think I quite approve, but oh well, that's just how it is. Anyway, shadow magic succeeded. 8 XP to shadow magic. You channel your power of shadow magic, and a chorus of angry whispers immediately surges through your mind, momentarily scattering your thoughts. Well, many of those thoughts were stupid, so it doesn't matter. In the heed of your summons, several bands of gloom snake out from the surrounding fog and forcibly press themselves against the door, partially closing it. An enraged bellow explodes from behind the door. Alright, it's the same again. The beaked tips of a pair of oozing green it's progressing. Before you stands a heavy wooden door, its timbers rattling, stands ajar several inches. The beaked tips of a pair of oozing green tendrils grip the edge of the oaken slab. Fearing the door will give way at any moment, you wholly endeavour to prevent just that. Okay, telekinesis. 4 XP to telekinesis, which succeeded. You channel your power of telekinesis and project a powerful, invisible blast of energy at the door. A reverberating shudder runs through the slab as the door partially closes. A fearsome shriek explodes from behind the door. It's only a couple of inch, stands ajar only a couple of inches now. The beaked tip of a single oozing green tendril grips the edge of the oaken slab. Fearing the door will give way at any moment, you wholly endeavour to prevent just that. Okay, attempt to push the door closed. You throw your full weight after I grow myself a bit and then throw my full weight against the door, straining against whatever was attempting to emerge from behind the hidden wooden slab. A dreadful, gurgling sound issues from behind the door. Picking a number, a bonus of 40, 20 from might and 20 from body, because this is a pure brawn challenge. And you got to get 75 or more to succeed, or I guess the door opens a bit. We shall see. Pick now. 112 success, 16 XP to general. With great strain, you manage to push the door partially closed. A guttural bellow sounds from behind the door. With the door almost completely shut, you hurl yourself against its shuddering timbers, staying big for this, pressing the weighty slab flush with the jamb. An ear-shattering roar from behind the wooden barrier sends reverberations coursing through you as you struggle to pry enough force to keep the door closed. Suddenly, the engraved disc in your possession begins to vibrate. Driven by instinct, you draw out the engraved stone disc and hold it towards the door. A dazzling blue aura immediately takes form around the stone piece as its vibrations dramatically increase, making it difficult to maintain your grip on the curious object. Your body begins to tremble as you struggle to keep the stone disc thrust out of the door. Out at the door. Alright, picking a number. Bonus 60. 20 from body, 20 from spirit, 20 from might. Got to get 100 or more to seal the door. If I don't get that, something might just come out. Pick now. 78. Failure. A wave of violent shudders surges through you as you struggle to maintain your grip on the stone disc. 15 damage. The ominous sound of something clawing at the other side of the door sends a chill racing through you. Despite your growing fatigue, you remain in place, your hands gripping both edges of the stone disc as you hold the strange object towards the door. A dazzling blue aura again forms around the curious piece as its vibrations dramatically increase, making it difficult to maintain your grip. Your body continues to tremble as you struggle to keep the stone disc thrust out of the door. Yes, I'm holding it in both hands. Or maybe one hand. Not sure if Sir Croakington got small again. I mean, she changes size a lot. Picking a number. Bonus of 60. 20 from body, 20 from spirit, 20 from might. Got to get 75 or more. Pick now. 125 success. A portion of the blue aura surrounding the stone disc suddenly leaps to the door, bathing the wattening slab in a pale, almost ghostly luminescence. The ominous sound of something clawing at the other side of the door sends a chill racing through you. Despite your growing fatigue, you remain in place, your hands gripping the edge of the stone disc as you hold the strange object towards the door. A dazzling blue aura again forms around the curious piece as its vibrations dramatically increase, making it difficult to maintain your grip. But I guess I use some of my toady stickiness to help with that. Your body continues to tremble as you struggle to keep stone disc thrust out at the door. Same check again. Pick now. 130 success. A portion of the blue aura surrounding the stone disc suddenly leaps to the door, bathing the rattling slab in a pale, almost ghostly luminescence. Luminance. The ominous sound of something clawing at the side of the door sends a chill racing through you. Yeah, this, whatever it is, it wants to go to the pub. Despite your growing fatigue, you remain in place, your hands gripping both edges of the stone disc as you hold the strange object towards the door. A dazzling blue aura again forms around the curious piece as its vibrations dramatically increase, making it difficult to maintain your grip. Your body continues to tremble as you struggle to keep the stone disc thrust out the door. Alright, picking a number. Bonus 60. 20 from body, 20 from spirit, 20 from might. Got to get 100 or more. Pick now. 105 success, but only dust. A portion of the blue aura surrounding the stone disc suddenly leaps to the floor, bathing the rattling slab in a pale, almost ghostly luminescence. The ominous sound of something clawing at the other side of the door sends a chill racing through you. Alright, despite your growing fatigue. Alright, it's the same again. Alright, same check again, pick now. 130 success. A portion of the blue aura surrounding the stone disc suddenly leaps to the door, bathing the wattening slab in a pale, almost ghostly luminance. Anonymous sound of something clawing other side of the door sends a chill racing through you. Suddenly, the claw from the other side of the door abruptly ceases as a brilliant blue aura takes form around the edges of the weighty wooden slab. As you lower the stone disc, you notice the purple-hued mist filling the tavern has begun to dissipate. I guess with the door fully sealed, no more is getting in, so it's just dispersing. Wasting no time, you move up to the door and quickly secure it closed. It's bolted again. Double bolt it. Triple bolt it. You warily step away from the door, wading through the rapidly ebbing, waist-high sea of purple mist. A bump into Fingin. The burly tavern keeper simultaneously slaps you on the shoulder and snatches back the engraved stone disc. Yep, it's gone now. Quite a good shot at that, he says, casting a nervous glance at the door. I don't know that this place will ever be rid of what's stuck back here. But it's best to keep it under lock and key, and quite out of sight. Well, it's no danger to anyone. Well, as long as it stays behind that door. As the last wisps of purple haze eddy away into the corners, the startled patronage, which had fell at the first sign of the sinister fog, begins to filter back into the tavern. I mean, weird fogs is one thing, but being sober? Fomgin looks at you and curtly nods before shuffling off to tend to the needs of a growing throng that's already quite forgotten about the disturbing incident. Mindful that the thing behind the door is something you would eventually have to deal with, for better or worse, you take one last look at the locked door before turning and striding off across the common room. Looks like we're gonna have to deal with that thing, because eventually it's gonna try to pull something where neither me nor Lilith or Fimgin are around, because Lilith's always going off to have exciting and heroic adventures, and me too. And Fimkin's got to sleep sometimes. So eventually it's going to get out. And I don't, well, not quite sure what it will do, but it will probably be very, very, very bad. So I might as well deal with it before it comes out. Also, 128 experience to general. Okay, and then we're back in the main room. Examine the do-not-open door again. The imposing door, a weighty oaken slab studded with ornate iron squares, occupies a sizeable but shallow impression in the wall opposite the fireplace. A large blue X is emblazoned on the door's age-worn timbers just above a circular iron latch. You've heard tell the tavern owner, the famed adventurer Lilith, and a trusted tavern keep, Figgim, have taken to calling this door the Do Not Open door, apparently with good reason. I think I'm going to have to disobey that instruction. There have been several incidents where something has attempted to force its way through the strange door, a door that appeared out of the blue, a door which Fimgin insists is a curse that has long afflicted his family. As you step back from the door, you spot the tavern keep Fimgin eyeing you closely from across the wall. Apparently realising there's nothing worrisome about the door. Presently, nothing worrisome about the door. What lurks behind it, your trusted cavalry will salute you the way before resuming his duties. Alright, Fimgin. Yeah. Thank you again for dealing with that door, he says, just as you're about to walk away. There's something that's had to be taken care of someday, before it all comes to a wicked end. Then he tells another story about a bold blacksmith, a valorous feat, and a legendary treasure. Right, the curious statue again. And this time, its normal description is the same. Suddenly, a statue trembles slightly, stirring up a small cloud of dust on the shelf before abruptly becoming still. Alright, let's look at the statue again. Let's stir up another small cloud of dust a third time. Suddenly the statue trembles, rattling the shelf before abruptly becoming still. Alright, four times. Rattles the shelf again, five times. A bright red triangle appears on the statue's distorted face and then promptly vanishes. the instant the triangle disappears. The image of the blue X forms. Very thorough with your thoughts, only to be swept aside with your very next breath. And, well, that's it. Oh, and something. Let's look at the statue again. A bright white triangle appears on the statue's distorted face and promptly vanishes. Yeah, this is the same. Alright. X, let's look at the door. Alright, first page is the same as before. We have a suddenly. The door suddenly and violently rattles as thick bluish fog begins seeping out from around its edges. You instinctively take a step back and turn to look for Fimgin, realizing you'll need to make use of the stone disc to steal the door shut. Without warning, a tall black portal opens directly between you and the wattling door, its deep, steady hum emitting a profound sense of dread. Unable to tear your gaze away from the magical gate, the din of the common room becomes distant and muffled as you stare hypnotically into its inky churning core. So do I step into the portal, or do I step away from the portal? Step back from the portal for now. Despite an inexplicable reluctance to step back, with great effort, you manage to retreat several feet from the portal. Suddenly, the swirling gateway closes, though its hum lingers in the air for several moments. As the noise of the common room floods into your ears, you gaze about and are surprised to discover no one seems to have noticed what just happened. Guess it's a portal just for me, then. Deciding that for the time being, it's best to keep your incident to yourself, you move away from the door, glancing back at the X emblazoned slab several times as you make your way out, way across the crowded room. Okay, let's have another look at the door. Yeah. Oh, no, he waves. Okay, let's look at the statue again. Look at the statue again. Trembles some more. Trembles. And we're back to the red triangle. Okay, now to the do not open door. The curse. Suddenly, we got the portal. Now, presumably, what's behind the portal can't get out. So, presumably, it wants me to come in so it can, I don't know, squeeze itself into me and then use me like a meat puppet or something. Now, of course, the thing is, for it to do that, it has to get close to me. Which is also what I want to do, because then I can stab it, or bash it, or explode it with elemental magic and destruction. So, you've probably just screwed yourself up, crazy tentacle beast thing. Enter the portal. With the portal's hum pulsing through your ears, you move up to the threshold of the magical gate. As you take a final look around the common room, you're surprised to discover no one seems to take any notice of the portal. Drawing a lungful of air, you step onto the portal and are immediately swallowed up by the frigid darkness of an interminable void. And so begins Beyond the Do Not Open Door. Well, I technically didn't open the door. So I'm fine. Okay, probably not fine, but still. You tumble headlong through a lightless, icy void, only vaguely aware of the eerie cacophony of strange sounds that herald your head's descent into the unfathomable darkness. Suddenly, the blackness surrounding you melts away, and you're relieved to find you're standing on solid ground in the centre of a large stone chamber, lit by the flickering light of several ensconced torches. The unsettling chorus of sounds that accompanied your tumble through the void has been replaced by an oppressive pall of silence. Well, as long as it isn't a silence that roars, I'm probably going to be okay. Several tall torches ensconced in rusted iron brackets affixed to the walls cast their flickering glow over this large square chamber. To the north, east and west, tall stone arches are set into the wall. Beyond each of the arches, make out the first several feet of a passage. A shimmering pool of dark water sits at the centre of the room, bordered by a wing of low, square stone blocks. Examine the pool. Standing with a foot perched on one of the stone blocks surrounding the edge of the pool, you glaze down into the shallow circular impression. The dark shimmering water that fills the basin ripples slightly, creating a dizzying effect you find somewhat disorientating. There's an item you should use here, but I think I'll be getting that later, so I could reach into the pool. Profound sense of rejuvenation throws you as your hand breaks the surface of the water. With the entire body tingling, you withdraw your hand and step back from the pool. Just three-healed? What if I reach into it again? Profound sense of rejuvenation flows through you as your hand breaks the surface of the water. With your entire body trimmed at 16 healed, you withdraw your hand and step back from the pool. Now, I'm fully healed, so I'm not going to mess with that anymore. I mean, we're in some place designed by a sinister tentacle beast. So there's going to be some sort of trap here. Admittedly, that's partially because I remember there being a trap. All right, anyway, step away from the pool. So let's go east. You pass beneath the ornate stone arch and move along a short passage that takes you into a large semicircular chamber. Suddenly, an ear-shattering howl echoes throughout the chamber as a vaguely humanoid figure of fog suddenly takes form before you. The being of mist immediately surges forward and attacks, its ghastly howls ringing in your ears. This is the Fog Terror, and the terror will be felt by it. I swing my club, and it's now getting all very damp. But we're still making holes in it somehow, because the club is magic. It howls wildly as it attacks as well. 5 XP. A piercing howl just echoes throughout the chamber as the creature of fog suddenly dissipates, its fading remnants scattering throughout the torch-lit chamber. After only a few moments, no trace of the vaporous entity remains. Okay, let's try to go east. You pass through the ornate stone arch and move along a short passage that takes you into a large semicircular chamber. A large wooden chest rests atop the rounded five-tier dais in the centre of the large semicircular room. The foot of the dais, a tall iron lever, protrudes from a slot in the floor. A tall stone arch set into the west wall of the chamber opens onto a passage that leads back into the room with the shimmering pool. The flickering glow from several ensconced torches illuminate the chamber. So I can examine the lever or examine the chest. I'm going to examine the lever. A sturdy length of iron protruding from a lengthy slot let into this stone floor, shaped to resemble a thick tentacle. Yep, they're keeping with the theme. The lever is set into the middle piston, perpendicular to the floor. I'm going to pull it left, right, or just leave it be. I'm going to pull it left. A soft snap echoes across the chamber as you pull the lever all the way to the left. I'm going to step back. Let's examine the chest. A large ornate wooden chest stands atop the dais. The chest's iron banded lid, its timbers emblazoned with the large blue X, is closed. An engraved iron lock plate extends from the front of the chest over the edge of the lid. A small keyhole is set into the centre of the iron square. Open the chest. You make several attempts to open the chest, but the lid is locked and refuses to budge. Then I shall pick the lock. Your repeated attempts to pick the lock bear no results, leaving you to believe the mechanism is magically protected. Seems you'll have to discover another means of unlocking the chest, like using a key. Climb down off the dais, examine the lever. All right, pull the lever to the right. A loud click echoes across the chamber as you pull the lever all the way to the right. Step away. It's another fog fiend. An ear-shattering howl echoes throughout the chamber as a vaguely humanoid figure of fog subtly takes form before you. The being of mist suddenly surges forward and attacks. Its ghastly howls ringing in your ears. It's a fog fiend, and I am going to attack it! The fog fiend howls wildly as it attacks, and I howl even more wildly with the croak of doom. Your enemy deals you a savage blow for 11 damage, and it is slain. 5 XP, and a wood icon has appeared among my possessions. It's unidentified. I may identify it later, or maybe I'll forget. But either way, I'll get a little bit of Arcanio experience for doing that. A piercing howl echoes throughout the chamber. The creature of fog suddenly dissipates, its fading remnants scattering throughout the torch-lit chamber. After only a few moments, no trace of the vaporous entity remains. Alright, examine the chest. Open the chest. Nope, can't do it yet. Step off the dais. Alright, I'm going to go to the west. Back to the main chamber. And then west again. You step through the stone arch and move along the wide corridor that brings you into a large square room. Now this dungeon is very efficient. Because every bit of this dungeon is to do something with. There's no dust because areas. No areas that you just walk through on the way. There's just the center chamber, eastern chamber, western chamber, northern chamber. And you only see the things, and you see things in them, but they're only the interesting things. A massive closed stone chest sits in the centre of this large, square, taut-lit room, emblazoned on the floor around the chest, forming a circle nearly 20 feet in diameter, are dozens of blue X-shaped glyphs. Apart from the chest, the cavernous chamber appears to be entirely empty. Let's look at the chest. As you near the circle of glyphs surrounding the chest, the X-shaped markings suddenly begin to emit a dim blue glow. To reach the chest, you'll have to cross into the circle of glyphs. Yeah, I might as well examine the circle of glyphs. As you step into the circle of glyphs, the dim glow emanating from each of the symbols promptly fades. You make your way over to the stone chest. A massive stone chest is covered with engravings that depict numerous figures, some of them skeletal, in the grips of several monstrous tentacles. A square iron lock plate extends from the front of the chest over the edge of the lid. A large keyhole is set into the centre of the plate. The chest is closed. So I can use an item here. Don't know what it will be. I can open the chest. The instant your fingers brush against the lid of the stone chest, a wave of disorientation washes over you. Your knees buckle and you stagger back as you struggle to regain your focus and your bearings and focus your blurring vision. As a sense of confusion ebbs, your vision starts to clear and you discover you are no longer standing in the room with the stone chest. And here's a near shattering howl echoes throughout the chamber as the vaguely humanoid figure of fog suddenly takes form before you. The being of mist immediately surges forward and attacks. Its ghastly howls ringing in your ears. It's a fog stalker. Just going to quick combat that. 5 XP. A piercing howl echoes throughout the chamber as the creature of fog suddenly dissipates. Its fading remnants scattering throughout the torchlit chamber. After only a few moments, no trace of the vaporous entity remains. Alright, I can go. Well, I'm back in the middle chamber. Examine the pool. Reach into the pool. Oh no, I took 38 damage this time. A series of stabbing pains echo through you as your hand breaks the surface of the water. 38 damage. Gasping in agony, you swiftly withdraw your hand and stagger back from the edge of the pool. While I reach into the pool again. 64 damage. No, 64 healing. Alright, I'm not going to mess with that again, because it seems it just gets more and more healy. There's more and more healing, or more and more damage. I think if you've got enough health to heal, it heals you. If you haven't, it hurts you. What if I reach into the pool again? A series of stabbing pains tear through you as your hand breaks the surface of the water. Grasping in agony, you swiftly withdraw your hand and step back from the edge of the pool. Again! 131 damage this time. You know what? I'm not going to mess with this again. Alright, step away from the pool. I'm going to heal myself manually, because I think the next time I touch may be enough to kill me no matter what. So, no more messing with the pool. But if I forget, I probably die. Move through the arch to the north. You step beneath the arch and pass along the narrow hall that leads into a large rectangular room. A massive iron door is set into the north wall of this colossal rectangular torch-lit chamber. In the centre of the cavernous space stands a two-tiered stone dais, along the top of which rest a row of four sculptured pieces. An engraving on the floor, just over the wound's threshold, depicts an tentacle encircling an X. The X appears to be perfectly centred inside the carved tentacle. Alright, move to the dais, I guess. You're taking only a few steps across the chamber when you're suddenly repelled by a powerful invisible force. You make no attempts to... make several attempts to get around the unseen barrier, but to no avail. Perplexed, you retreat to the entrance. Another fog fiend. And that dies like the rest for 5 XP. Move to the iron door. Alright, I'm repelled by a powerful invisible force again. So, whatever I do here, not yet. Move the arch to the south. You pass through the arch and move along the narrow hall that leads into the room with the shimmering pool. Another fog terror. Another 5 XP. Suddenly, you spot something on the floor in the exact spot over which your misty foe hovered. Leaning closer, you discover the item to be a thin wooden key, which you promptly acquire. Alright, let's have a look at this. I'm going to use the key so it's on the quick use list. This thin wooden key looks to be extremely fragile, so you can probably only use it once. Alright, let's go west. Large square room. Examine the stone chest. Step into a circle of glyphs. Promptly fades. Square iron lock plate extends from the front of the chest over the edge of the lid. A large keyhole is set into the chest. Alright, let's use the thin wooden key. No. Open the chest. A disorientation. Not where I was standing. I've been teleported. Alright, this is the one with the chest and the dais.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm in the Eastern Chamber. Examine the chest. Thin wooden key, use that. You attempt to insert the thin wooden key into the keyhole, only to be repelled by a powerful invisible force. Okay. Right, step off the dais. Alright, examine the lever. Alright, center the lever. Okay. Alright, now let's look at the chest now. Use the key again. Nope. Alright, now I'm going to pull the lever again. Pull the lever to the left. Step back from the lever. Examine the chest. Use the key. You insert the thin wooden key into the keyhole and gently turn it to the right. A sharp click indicates the chest is now unlocked, prompting you to remove the key. I open the chest. You carefully tip back the weighty lid and peer into the chest. Resting at the bottom of the chest are two curious objects, a thick stone key and a vial of shimmering water. Vial of shimmering water, got that, and a thick stone key. The water that fills this small brilliant stoppered vial shimmers brilliantly. Use that so it's on the... Put both of these on the use list so they're on the... They're on the recently used list. Step back from the chest. Look inside the chest. You know, it's now empty because I took the stuff out. Climb down. I can close the chest. Carefully close the list. I can open the chest. Oh, I'm just going to keep the chest closed. Maybe it'll do something. No, I can't put anything in the chest. So climb down off the dais. Alright, so I examine the lever. So I pulled it all the way to the left. And I could open the white chest. So I'm going to pull it all the way to the white. And that might let me open to the west chest. Okay, move to the west. In the center, examine the pool. Particular item may be of use, shimmering water. You pour the shimmering water from the vial into the pool and discard the empty vessel. Now, since I was able to do that, that means it was probably supposed to be the thing I was supposed to do. Suddenly. 16 XP to general. Yep, definitely what I was supposed to do. Suddenly, the dark, shimmering water in the pool begins to whirl and bubble. Seconds later, when the pool has returned to its original placid state, you're startled to note the water has adopted a brilliant blue hue. Okay, don't know what that does. Okay, go to the west. Examine the stone chest. Step into the circle of glyphs around it. Particular item may be of use here, thick stone key. The stone key fits perfectly into the keyhole. After making sure it's fully inserted, you twist it to your right, elicting a dull click from somewhere within the lid. Signaling the chest is now unlocked, you carefully remove the key, open the chest. With great effort, you manage to tip back the heavy stone lid. Then, exercising all due caution, you peer into the open chest. Resting at the bottom of the stone chest, you discover a small, jagged blue stone and a curious piece of sculptured stone. Certain that both may prove useful, you reach into the chest and take possession of both items. It's a jagged blue stone. This jagged blue stone seems unusually heavy, given it's no bigger than a small coin. Despite the fact it's completely dry, the stone feels wet in your hands. Okay. Put that on the recently used sculpted stone shard. This jagged piece of sculpted stone is without a doubt part of a larger piece crafted in the likeness of a thick tentacle. Well, of course, gotta go with the theme. And that's also on the recently used. After making certain you haven't overlooked anything, you step back from the chest. Look inside the chest. Nope, nothing there. Close the chest. Move away from the chest. Step through the arch to the east. I'm not going to examine the pool. Items of use here. Can I do anything? Sculpted stone starch? No. Jaggy blue stone. You drop the jaggy blue stone into the pool and watch as the weighty rock swiftly sinks beneath the blue shimmering surface. Whether I was supposed to do that? Apparently so, because I was allowed to. Suddenly, the pool of water begins to roil, and its brilliant blue hue rapidly darkens. As the withering water gradually calms, an image forms just beneath its shimmering surface. Staring at you out of the pool is the rippling likeness of a wooden chest you recently opened. Suddenly the dark water in the pool again starts to weave and roil. Several moments later, when the pool is returned to its placid state, there's no longer any sign of the chest's image. Okay, I've got to find a wooden chest. Alright, there's a chest here. Examine the chest. Look inside the chest. Resting at the bottom of the chest are two curious objects. A small, jaggy blue stone and a sculpted stone shard that appears to resemble part of a tentacle. Alright, that's my second sculpted stone shard, and I've got the black jaggy blue stone back. And I automatically picked up both of those, so... Close the chest. Open the chest. Look inside it. Climb off the dais. Back to the shimmering pool room. Examine the pool. Can I use another jaggy blue stone? Yeah, that disappears beneath the surface. Suddenly, a loud gurgling sound rises out of the basin as the surface of the pool begins to swirl and writhe. You look instantly as the water shimmers. Instantly and inexplicably drains out of the depression, leaving a shallow, empty impression inside the wing of stone blocks. Westing... At the bottom of the now empty basin is a sculpted stone shard, similar to the others you found. It's probably good that that water is gone, because that means I can't keep touching it, and accidentally kill myself. Taking care not to topple the basin, you reach down and take possession of the sculpted stone shard, which, like the others, appears to be part of a larger piece that depicts a thick tentacle. Still clutching the shard, you step back from the edge of the empty pool. Alright, make sure sculpted stone charge is in the recently used. Let's go west. Examine the stone chest. Step into the circle of limbs. Open the chest. Peer into it with caution. A faint blue glow emanates from the bottom of the chest's sizable interior. Okay, I'm going to put these sculpted stone shards in it. 32 experience to general. You place all three of the sculpted stone shards into the chest. Almost immediately, a dazzling blue aura surrounds each piece. The ferocity of the glow forces you to turn away. Seconds later, when you whisk a glance back into the open chest, discover both the dazzling blue glow and the trio of sculpted shards are gone. In their place, resting at the bottom of the chest, is a stone statuette that depicts a thick tentacle wrapped around the hilt and pommel of a sword. Closer examination reveals the statuette is made up of the three shards you placed in the chest. You promptly take possession of the curious object. It's a tentacle statuette. It still has an encumbrance of one, even though it's made out of three things with an encumbrance of one, but... Encumbrance is not weight, so whatever. This gruesome sculpture depicts a thick tentacle wrapped around what appears to be the hilt and pommel of a sword. Oh, you're having fun, aren't you, tentacle? And use it, so it's on the recently used list. The quick search of the chest, making sure you haven't overlooked anything. You step back and contemplate your next move. Alright, I think... move away. Alright, move through the arch to the east. Examine the lever. Going to pull it to the centre. I have. Arch to the west. Okay, now. Examine the basin. It's empty. Still empty. It didn't fill up again while I wasn't looking. Move through the arch to the north. You step beneath the arch and pass along the narrow hall. Leads into a large rectangular room. A massive iron door is set into the north wall of this colossal, rectangular, torch-lit chamber. In the centre of the cavernous space stands a two-tiered stone dais, along the top of which rest four sculpted stone pieces. A engraving on the floor, just over the room's threshold, depicts a tentacle encircling an X. The X appears to be perfectly centred inside the carved tentacle. Let's move to the dais. As you make your way up to the dais, the torches are fixed in the chamber. Walls momentarily flicker and dim before suddenly flaring back to life. You're standing at the centre of a massive chamber, directly before a short, two-tiered stone dais. Surface only dimly illuminated by the torches affixed to its distant walls. Four stone statuettes are displayed in a line that spans almost the full width of the tier's top plinth. Each sculpture depicts a tentacle wrapped around a different object and set into a circular impression. A fifth impression on the far wide of the line of statuettes stands empty. I can use an item here, and I think I know what it is. Examine the statuettes more closely. You study from left to right the four sculptures lining the top of the dais. The first statuette depicts a thick tentacle wrapped around a feather. The second, a tentacle curled around a tattered book. The third, a tentacle squeezing a large eye. The fourth, a tentacle coiled around a skull. Well, looks like whoever this tentacle beast is a bit of a collector. Well, maybe we could be friends, but probably not. A particular item may be of use here. Let's just use the tentacle statue. Put it to use. 32 experience to general. So that was what I was supposed to do. The instant you hold the tentacle sculpture above the empty impression, the statuette becomes impossibly heavy, drawing your hand downwards and slamming the object into place. Clonk! As you withdraw your trembling hand. Thankful that the unexpected force of the placement didn't serve to break your wrist. You glance along the line of sculptured pieces, wondering at their origin and significance. Gazing along the line of statuettes evokes a strange sense of dread. Right, examining the statues more closely, the fifth, which you placed here, depicts a tentacle wrapped around the hilt of a sword. Though the statues are, oddly enough, too heavy to lift, it appears they've been rotated inside the circular impression in which it sits. Alright, just leave them be for now. Head to the iron door. As you make your way towards the door, the torches affixed to the chamber walls momentarily flicker and dim before suddenly flaring back to life. Right, to the chamber entrance. There doesn't appear to be any readily identifiable means of opening the door. You're standing before a massive stone door tucked into an arch on the north wall. A stone square is set into the centre of the book, inside of which is emblazoned a line of three engraved symbols, a book, an eye and a skull. There doesn't appear to be any readily identifiable means of opening the door. So book, eye and skull, I guess that's what I turned towards the door. Move to the dais. Statues flare a bit. examine the statues more closely. We've got the book. We've got feather, book, eye, skull, and sword. We'll take the statue, the feather. You will take the first sculpture, the one depicting a tentacle twirled around a feather. The first emits a faint blue glow. Right, what has that done? What if I rotate it again? It promptly fades. Alright. I'm going to rotate the book one. And the eye one. And the skull one. Stop examining the statues. Move to the iron door. The torches dim and then flare. Stone square is set in the centre of the door, inside which is emblazoned a line of three symbols. A book, glowing, an eye, glowing, and a skull, glowing. Doesn't appear to be any identifiable means of opening the door. That moves to the chamber entrance. Oh, we have a suddenly. Suddenly, a blue latch appears on the white side of the door. A heavy iron wing, affixed to a diamond-shaped metal plate, now and again vibrates ever so slightly. Now, either I'm figuring out the way to get out, or I'm summoning some sort of elder god. Maybe both. A heavy iron wing affixed to the dime-shaped metal plate, now and again vibrates ever so slightly. Apparently it wants me to come in. Pull on the... A glowing blue latch is now affixed to the white side of the door. The heavy iron wing attached to its diamond-shaped metal plate, now and again vibrates ever so slightly. Pull on the glowing hatch, but first, a bit of healing. The instant you take hold of the glowing latch, a surge of energy passes through your hand, along your outstretched arm, and swiftly spreads throughout your body. The surge, a jolting, altogether unpleasant episode, is swiftly supplanted by a tingling, rejuvenating sensation. My stamina points are fully restored. That wasn't needed. But I guess that kind of helps out anyone who's got themselves hurt fighting all those fog things and fiddling around with the deadly Healy water. You've only just started to tug at the latch for attempting to assess the effort required to open the door when the massive slab of stone groans and it begins to swing outwards. Okay. Apparently, whatever this beast is, it wants me intact. Presumably, so it can use me. Or something like that. As the door slowly swings outward, a groan from the hidden hinges mingles with the strange, echoing bauble from behind the iron slab. Your head begins to swim, and you momentarily lose all semblance of coherent thought. But again? That happens too often to me. Ever since, you know, the whispered madness and the silent war. Staggering back, as you struggle to regain your senses, you're overcome by a wave of panic. Your every instinct tells you that something horrific is about to come through the door. Despite your rising panic, you seem incapable of even considering retreat. Okay, I'm gonna close the door. You throw yourself against the massive iron door and quickly discover you're contending with an unearthly, inhuman might, pushing on the opposite side of the towering slab. Calling upon your every reserve of strength, you struggle to keep the door from opening any further. Picking a number. Bonus of 50. 20 from might, 20 from body, 10 from spirit. Got a 100 or more, or it will be stronger than me. 39 success. You managed to momentarily prevent the door from opening any wider. But after several agonising seconds of strain, it feels as if your back and knees are about to buckle. You feel your strength could give out at any moment. So step back, or continue to try and keep the door from opening further. Suddenly, propelled by more force you can ever hope to check, the door flies open, smashing into you and sending you toppling backwards. You land hard, striking the back of your head against the unforgiving floor, and violently drive the wind from your lungs. 40 damage. Bloodied, dazed but alive. You struggle to your feet and fix your gaze on the terrifying sight emerging from behind the iron door. And also, at some point, I lost all my Nevril reserve. A gargantuan, writhing mass of black tentacles, seemingly protruding from a bubbling mound of black slime, oozes out from behind the iron door, accompanied by a vile cacophony of nightmarish din that echoes throughout the cavernous chamber. An eerie, distant glibbering reaches your ears, for you're certain the unsettling sound does not originate with the hideous Belenov, now surging towards you with rapid rhythmic waves of motion, leaving its wake a thick trail of putrid black slime. As a revolting abomination bears down on you, the distant babbling, a fractured chorus of dismal notions given voice, grows louder, making it increasingly difficult for you to remain focused on your approaching foe, picking a number. 20, bonus of 60, 20 from mind, 20 from spirit, 20 from aura. Got to get 100 or more, or presumably go utterly stark raving mad. Well, even more so. 138 success. Your thoughts instinctively retreat behind the timely series of barriers constructed by your psyche, defending your lucidity from the ravages of an ancient power wielded by a fearsome, insidious, and eternal enemy. As the oozing mass of tentacles surges closer, the babbling voices again echo throughout the torchlit chamber. Well, let's get to the business and hold my ground and engage the tentacled horror. With the babbling voices continue to echo throughout the torchlit chamber, as the oozing mass of tentacles is swiftly upon you, lashing out with its slimy tendrils as it attempts to tear you limb from limb, its globular the vile, something like that. It's very hard to pronounce, especially when you're not good at pronouncing things. It's yellow difficulty. It's 15 plus. That's usually a sign that I'm not supposed to fight it yet. Alright, I have to kill it. You swing your club. The tentacled horror surges wildly as it slides. What is it? Gurgles wildly as it lashes out at you. Attack. The large tentacle suddenly snares you, freezing you with bone-crushing force. 41 damage. Yeah, I'm going to run away now. Fled from combat. You fall back beyond the range of the creature's lashing tentacles, narrowly avoiding the entity's deadly frenzied attack. Without a second thought, you flee in the direction of the dais. Okay. Dashing in a wide arc that sweeps you through the white of the monster's tentacled arch, you reach the dais, breathing heavily. Much to dismay, the nightmarish abomination, its gurgling noises competing with distant, eerie babbling, changes direction and again begins bearing down on you. So I can move to the iron door. Move to the iron door. Move to the chamber entrance. To the chamber entrance. You move near to the chamber entrance. The opening suddenly vanishes. Unable to curve your momentum, you throw your hands and manage to prevent yourself from stumbling headfirst into the wall that now exists where the passage was only moments ago. As the grim sounds of the horrid creature's incessant gurgling sounds mingled with the din of distant laughter wingling in your ears, you spin to face the approaching abomination as it drags itself towards you. Hold your ground and engage the tentacle terror, or move to the dais. I'm going to move to the dais. There's stuff there, it might help. Dashing in a wide arc that sweeps you far to the right of the monstrous tentacled mass, you reach the dais, breathing heavily. Much to your dismay, the nightmarish abomination, its gurgling noises competing with the distant, eerie babbling, changes direction and begins bearing down on you. Okay, hold my ground and engage the creature. There's nowhere to run, so I'm going to have to do it at some point. Hold your ground and engage the creature. The dazzling voice is continuing to echo through the torchlit chamber. The oozing mass of tentacles is swiftly upon you, lashing out with slimy tentacles. It attempts to tear you limb from limb. It's Scorpio the Vile. Alright, let's use the Wand of Dragonfire. It does 110 damage in the usual way. Tentacled horror gurgles wildly, lashes out at you. Right, and that only takes off about 10% of its health, so that's not going to work as a long-term plan because it takes 2 hours to charge up again. So flee. You fled from combat. You fall back behind the range of the creature's lashing tentacles, narrowly avoiding the entity's deadly frenzied attack. Stumbling over your own feet, you turn and flee towards the chamber entrance. Move to the dais. Move to the iron door. As you dash towards the door, a dazzling blue glow suddenly erupts from the surface of the iron slab. The symbols emblazoned on the door each emit several broad bands of piercing blue light that momentarily flood the chamber. Glancing over your shoulder, you witness the massive tentacle creature slow its pursuit and shudders violently as the beams of light splash across the writhing folds of its hideous bulk. Maybe this chamber wasn't built by the tentacle beast, but by those trying to contain it. Or maybe it was built by the tentacle beast, but then redesigned. Well, on behalf of the tentacle beast, anyway. Then redesigned by those trying to contain it. It appears Goblin has just sustained considerable damage. Move to the dais. Move to the iron door. Sustains considerable damage once again. As you reach the iron door, its bands of blue light, emanating from the symbols emblazoned on its surface, suddenly go dark, with the nightmarish sound of the creature's repulsive gurgling drawing near. You turn to face the approaching abomination. It continues to drag itself towards you. Move to the dais. Dashing in a wide arc, sweeps past the wise of this monstrous tentacle. And as you reach the dais, breathing heavily. Much to your dismay, the nightmarish abomination, its gurgling noises competing with a distant, eerie babbling, changes direction and again begins staring down at you. Move to the iron door. As you move towards the door, a dazzling blue glow suddenly erupts from the surface of the iron slab. The symbols emblazoned on the door each emit several broad bands of piercing blue light that momentarily flood the chamber. Glancing over your shoulder, you witness the massive tentacle creature slow its pursuit and shudders violently as beams of light splash across the writhing folds of its hideous bulk. It appears Goblua Guerra. Madame Blobby has sustained considerable damage. Right, move to the dais. Move to the iron door. It sustains considerable damage once again. Alright, move to the dais. Move to the iron door. Considerable damage. Move to the dais. Move to the iron door. Considerable damage. Move to the dais, move to the iron door, considerable damage. Suddenly, revolting odour of burning flesh fills the chamber as the beams of blue light appear to shear the creature's oozing bulk. The tentacled horror shudders and halts its advance. Realising you've been afforded an opportunity you may not have again, you instinctively rush forward, hoping to finish off the repugnant abomination. Despite its apparent weakened state, the oozing mass of tentacles, a vile, otherworldly devour upon all upon which it descends its malevolent gaze, rears up as you draw to within melee range. With the babbling voices continuing to echo through the torchlit chamber, the abomination appears to summon its last reserves of strength as it lashes out wildly with its slimy tendrils. It's Goblogwa the Vile. Time to kill it. Swing your club. The tentacle horror gurgles wildly as it lashes out at you. It still has a lot of health, but now it's only... But now it's only 11 plus roll. I'm going to use some quickstone 20s. Use three of those. That took it to 78%. Are there any items I could use? Well, there's the Wand of Dragonfire, but... Does the Demon Scourge do anything? No. What if I flee again? You fled from combat. You fall back beyond the range of the creature's lashing attacks. Narrowly avoiding the entity's deadly frenzied attack. Stumbling over your own feet, you turn and flee towards the chamber entrance. Alright, I can't get out. Move to the dais. Move to the iron door. Considerable damage. Suddenly. Alright, I have an opportunity to attack it again. Goblur Dwala the Vile. It's now on to 8 plus roll to get it down. I'm going to flee again. Fled from combat. You're falling back beyond the range of the creature's lashing attacks, narrowly avoiding the entity's deadly frenzied attack. You stumble back, stumbling over your own feet. You turn and flee towards the chamber entrance, to the dais, to the iron door. Get zapped again. Seems Golgore. Has sustained considerable damage. Suddenly. Alright, I have another. I charged it once again. Gobblegoralaka the Vile. Yeah, it looks like this is as easy as it's going to get. I go into a battle wage, which helps. Stop taking so long to die! I'm angry about that. The large tentacle subtly snares you, squeezing you with bone-crushing force. That's for 43 damage. Alright, okay, I'm going to use my Quickstone to heal. The Quickstone shimmers and grows bright red as it fully heals you. It's mostly done now. It's still squeezing with bone-crushing force. Because this is a bloody tough thing. Even after being zapped by powerful magic lasers about a dozen times, it can still do a devastating special attack. It's nearly finished now, finally. Keep going, and slain. 13 experience. And the enchantment of metal and devastation helped a bit. Gorbula, a near immortal. Terror, every twisted thought is bent on pain, suffering, and defiling of all that is good and virtuous. So, future Conservative Party leader, apparently. Shudders violently as his many tentacles slump lifelessly to the floor. A sickling, gurgling sound rises out of the inky, galaticous mass at the core of the repugnant creature, and the nauseating stench drifts from the abhorrent, quivering heap. You're witnessing the final death throes of an entity that long sought to deliver its wanton malevolence to the world. To this world and countless others, were it not for the long, thankless diligence of its hopelessly wary keeper, and ultimately you, it would almost certainly have succeeded in doing so. The gurgling sound rising from the core of Gorblugras' hideous carcass slows and ultimately ceases. Replaced by the soft sound, which you can only describe as akin to the noise made by muck settling into a bog. Thick streams of black slime begin to seep from the great terror's lifeless tentacles, nearly driven to retching by the foul odour emanating from the entity's remains. You're about to turn your attention to escaping from these grim surroundings when a sudden flash of white light floods the massive chamber. The light swiftly fades, and your gaze is immediately drawn to the glowing wooden door, now hovering only inches off the floor, several yards to your right. With a faint groan, followed by a rasping shriek of oil-starved hinges, the door begins to open. You instinctively draw yourself into a defensive stance, prepared to face whatever might emerge from behind the opening door. Seconds later, when the door is nearly halfway open, you're startled to see a woman in green robe step out from behind the glowing slab. Her blazing green eyes, their notable luminance piercing the shadow cast by a bulking hood, seem as angular as the west of her chiseled face, lending her flesh a look that suggests carved stone. She regards you with a curt nod, not before turning to gaze upon the foul remains of Gobblugwa. "It is as foretold," she says, a soft voice without delectable effect. "I should not have been so worried. I might have trusted the prophecies, for they are seldom wrong. You must forgive my lapse. I was its keeper, and on my watch it escaped its ageless cage and was free to roam wherever its clamorous bloodlust guided it." Your attempt to focus your snare on the woman's face produces a strange result. Her bright green eyes momentarily flare before suddenly going dark, casting her shrouded head into deep shadow, preventing you from seeing anything of her odd angular visage. It is now vanquished, and will no longer trouble your world, or any to which it might have next sought to roam, she says. "You've done a great deed, but do not expect accolades from those whose lives and lines your heroics have spared. If they knew, they will not remember. These matters, however unfortunate, are best handled in places like this. Out of time, out of place, out of mind." You ask the hooded woman about this place, about the creature you just defeated, and the strange door marked with an X back in the Demon Dactyl. "I know nothing about this place, and nothing about the door you describe," she says with a flat effect. "I know only that I was its keeper, and it evaded me, and nearly brought to ruin everything. You have spared reality that dark fate. You've righted course on this meandering ship, and I dare say we are to sail on under a veil of stars to the end of all." The woman steps back and appears as if she's about to disappear. Behind the glowing door, when she suddenly raises her white hand and earnestly beckons to you. "I may not know anything about this place," she says, "but I very much doubt you wish to remain here. Follow after me, and you will again find your own time and place, though some things might not be quite as you remember them." Instinctively trusting the woman, you move to her side, only a moment before she slips behind the glowing door and vanishes in a flash of white light. After taking one last look around the cavernous torch-lit chamber, you immediately follow her lead and step behind the door, where you are immediately engulfed by the same blinding flare, then everything goes black. You wake with a start and find several pairs of eyes staring down at you. Slowly, your surroundings come into focus. You realise you're lying on the floor in the middle of the Demon Dactyl's common room, looking up at the ceiling for a wing of concerned faces. "All right, that's enough now," issues a familiar voice. "Give her some room, you lot. I'll get her to her feet. Go on, get out of the way." As a circle of patrons disperses, the burly tavern keeper appears on your right and shoots down his thick hand, which you promptly grasp. After being hauled to your feet, you lean against the back of the chair and steady yourself. "Nasty sort of spell that was," says Fimgum, shaking his head. "One of those loose pegs in the floor. Perhaps a nail. I'll get on it and fix it up. Can't have folks tripping all over it here. After all, might have turned out worse. You don't look so bad, though. Sure you're all right?" "You're sure, Fimgum, you're fine. Though, as the memories of the incident with the strange lair behind the Duloc door, the battle with the tentacled horror, your encounter with the hooded woman come flooding back, your head begins to swim. "Have a seat and I'll fetch you some palo," he says, turning and making his way towards the far side of the room. Suddenly, As you glance around the common room, wincing as you realise your apparent spill has incurred you at least some measure of discomfort, your eyes fall upon the do-not-open door. Much to your astonishment, the large blue X that long adorned the door's age-worn timbers is no longer there. In its place is a long, jagged mar, which you have to believe was the result of catching a glancing blow of some bladed weapon. You immediately move to the door, eager to take a closer look. Standing before the mar door, you gently run your fingers along the length of its jagged diagonal gash that crosses all three of its worn planks. A crude iron wing affixed to the door's white edges serves as its latch. Suddenly, Fimgin appears at your side and thrusts a steaming mug of paleo into your welcoming hands. "The old mark draws more attention than anything I know," she says, staring thoughtfully at the deep scar on the door. "Must have been a sword by the looks of it." "An axe would have bitten too deep and not left so long a what? But who laid the blow, and what or who was the intended target? You'll never know. I'm convinced of that. But some things are better left unknown, some better forgotten." When you ask Fomkin about the blue X and refers to the door as the blue do not open door, he looks confused and shrugs. "You might have judged yourself more than I let you on," he says, shaking his head. That gorge is the only thing that's ever been on that door. Pity too, because it spoils the whole look of the thing. Realising that Fimkin has no memory of the X that previously marked the door, you make a few quick inquiries to satisfy your own curiosity. Your carefully worded questions about the engravestone disc, blue smoke that now and then seeped from under the door, and the strange tentacle creature that attempted to push its way out from behind the slab, all result in the tavern keeper shaking his head and struggling. "Not to sound dismissive, but I think you might have had quite a dream while you're out. A bit of rest and some more paleo will probably help set things right. Neither could do any harm." Attempting to downplay the seriousness of his inquiries, given Firmgin's reaction to them, jokingly suggests you should open the door and forever settle the plausibility of your wild imagines. Firmgin immediately tenses, straightens up and shakes his head. "I don't think that would be wise," he says, nervously glancing from you to the door. "You best leave it alone. You know what, I'll leave it be." Heed Firmgin's wishes and leave it closed. If you open it, just a lot of stuff clatters out. Fimkin seems enemy relieved when you heed his wish to leave the door alone. "And I think we'll have just a bit more paleo," he says, coaxing you away from the door and into the open table near the fire. "You need to put those feet up and warm yourself. The fire will take care of the outside and the paleo will do the inside. Just sit right here and I'll be back." After snatching away your mug, which was still almost full, the burly tavern keeper scurries off to fetch more of the strong black streaming beverage. Sitting and talking with Thimgin for the better part of an hour, warming yourself by the fire and sipping from some of the seemingly endless flow of paleo the tavern keeper's frequent trips to the kitchen produces, you're mindful of how fortunate you are to return safe and sound from your strange adventure. Now and again, during conversation, Fimbrin casts a quick, furtive glance in the direction of the marred door, a door you previously knew as the Do Not Open door. Despite having agreed to leave the door closed, you silently vow to have a look behind it should the opportunity present itself. Despite the temptation to bring him into your confidence regarding your adventure beyond the door that's no longer there, decide to make no mention of the strange incident. Some things, you reason, are best kept close. "Well, it's good to see you suffered no ill effects from that fall," says Fimkin, as he rises from the table, announces he needs to return to his duties. "You'll be all right. Stay close to the fire and keep sipping that paleo. Fire's good for all manner of thing. Recovering from a mishap like you had is certainly among them." As the tavern keeper departs, you decide to heed his advice and stretch out your feet towards the fire. the warm glow of the hypnotic blaze. Surrounded and comforted by the din that fills the tavern, you begin to nod off. Thankful to be back safe and sound in the familiar confines of the Demon Dactyl. As the days go by, and your recollection of events leading up to and including your adventure beyond the Do Not Open door becomes somewhat less vivid. You begin to question your own memory as related to certain parts of the disturbing episode. It becomes clear that neither Fimgin nor any of the tavern's faithful patrons, all of whom you readily recall having witnessed multiple incidents involving the door and the smoke, remember nothing at all about the strange happenings. Fimgin never again speaks of the curse that supposedly followed his line, and you make a conscious effort to avoid mentioning it. For you're quite sure the very notion of such a thing would bewilder him. And so the Demon Dactyl continues on. As well-respected establishments do, no longer plagued by eerie noises, untimely vapours, curiously emblazoned doors, and the narrowly avoided incursions of malevolent otherworldly entities. The ale flows, the paleo steams, and the tantalising aroma of succulent dishes fills the air, and raucous merriment carries on long into the many nights that follow. Good times are good at the Demon Dactyl, better in fact than they've ever been. And that finishes it with 2048 experience to general and 128 experience to all skills and powers. I'm going to leave this be and go somewhere where I could save. There's a little bit more to do, I think. Just check up on things, but that is enough for now.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.